Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is April 28, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us each week with real people, real stories, real changes, as we hear the truth about gang, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Miss Catherine Redd. She is a Project Faith Neighborhood Anti-Gang Initiative Director in Lafayette, Indiana. She will tell us about her job and what she does and how she's making a difference out in the world today. And right now, I'd like to welcome Boyd.
Yes, how you doing, everybody? And like always, like the missus said, you know, the streets don't love you back, and we're bringing you a great message tonight from Miss Catherine Redd, and she's going to let everybody know what her fight is with this crime and what she's doing to help change some of these lives out here and deter them away from that gang, drugs, and violence. So we're going to bring her straight to the forefront, and we're going to ask you, Miss Karen, to go ahead and formally introduce yourself to the people, and let's get the show on the road.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you both for having me on this evening. I do think that we're in the midst of a national epidemic that will influence an entire generation if there's not immediate movement to address the gang crime and the violence and associated illegal activity. And it's going to have to take place from the local government to the White House and from local to federal law enforcement agencies and from citizens to national civics and faith-based leaders. So I'm just one of the people in the mix working out of Tippecanoe County to try to bring, you know, gang awareness to the area that I serve.
Right.
That sounds great. And I just want to ask you, Ms. Reed, how long has you been involved with this fighting crime and trying to make a difference in the community?
I've been in my position about 2.5 years. Our current prosecutor, when he took office, realized that there was an increasing gang presence in the area and wanted to address it. And through a Project Safe Neighborhoods initiative with the U.S. Attorney of Northern Indiana, brought about some grant funds to make this position possible. We kicked it off in May of 2008 initially with two programs, the goal being to get the community engaged and aware of the problem. I think one thing that's extremely important is no one person, no one agency can make a difference. It's only everybody working together that can bring about change. So we started initially with two core initiatives, one being a rental property owner and manager training program, which is a six-hour course. It teaches property owners and managers how to keep illegal activity out of their properties. And we've trained 116 people that are responsible for over 14,000 rental units in the county so far. We simultaneously launched a WeTip Anonymous hotline. One of the things that I found in speaking with approximately 3,000 citizens as part of my investigation prior to launching these programs was that there was a real resistance on the part of the public to communicate illegal activity to law enforcement. There was no real reason for it. It wasn't universal. Some was fear. Some people felt as if it was none of their business to know what their neighbors were doing. So I researched a hotline that would have that would be 100% anonymous, was not affiliated with law enforcement. It's a nonprofit organization. They have special equipment on their phones. If their records are subpoenaed, there's nothing to subpoena. So I could go to the public and I could 100% assure them that there is no way their calls would ever be identified back to them. So far, we've received 1,300 tips. We've received tips for our own county as well as around 40 other Indiana cities, 27 counties, formed drug and gang task force partnerships, partnered with state and federal law enforcement agencies. That has worked out real well for us, and that just shows the power of the people.
Right. That's definitely true, Ms. Reed, because if the people don't get involved within the community, you'll never know what's happening within the community, you know, because from me and from my experience coming up in the street world, the law enforcement ain't going to know too much what's happening in the neighborhood if the hood is covering up the hood, you know. So you have to be a loud spoken voice to get the message out there that you don't want crime, you don't want gangs, you don't want drugs in your neighborhood. And that's why, you know, people get a listening ear once they find out that they can be a part of something to change and help someone's life up out of that world. So we want to commend you on that as well, you know.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, nobody wants to be a snitch either, or for other people to know they're a snitch. So that anonymous phone line that you have is an awesome tool.
It is an awesome tool.
Right.
It has. We have a really aggressive street crimes unit here, and they use the information every single week. And they have found it to be incredibly valuable. We're grateful. We're grateful for everyone that calls in. We're grateful for their help. I mean, the people are the first line of defense against crime. They are the proactive
Definitely.
Measure that can make the difference.
Definitely.
It will not. We will not win this war with us.
Go ahead, Ms. Kath.
No, I was just going to say we will not win this war without the help and the support of the American people.
No doubt.
They will make the difference.
Yes, ma'am. You know, and we would like to let you be so kind to give out a website address if you have that, or phone number if you have that, to the people if they are is willing and ready to get involved with stopping these gangs, drugs, and violence in their neighborhood.
If you want WeTip is very easy. It's 1-800-78-CRIME.
You hear that, people? 1-800-WeTip-78-CRIME.
Anonymous hotline.
Anonymous hotline. And it's a family-owned business that's been in business for 37 years. And in the 37 years, they've never had an informant outed.
There it is. So if you're ready to start breaking some of these cases up there in Indiana, Lafayette, Indiana, correct, Ms. Reed?
That's correct.
Yeah, if you're ready to start helping the people and getting these gangs and these drugs up out your neighborhood, we asking you from the Streets Don't Love You Back movement to join the fight in this, because you got so many people out here that done took this game out of control, and you got so many people out here that, especially these young kids nowadays, that don't really know what the drug life, the gang life really is. They just out here following people and get caught up and really don't even know what they're following, you know. So we definitely want to break that ball and chain and try to save some of these lives. And now I turn the mic over to the missus.
Catherine, you wanted to talk a little bit about the gang trends in the United States. I'll let you go ahead and maybe start with that.
Yeah, I do. So far this year, I tried to read every article that makes a reference to a gang in the United States daily. To date, I've read about 3,000 articles. Now, bear in mind that the articles are only mention the word gang if law enforcement has, in fact, confirmed that it was a gang event. only about 10% of local law enforcement agencies in the United States have mandated a system to actively identify gang members and associates. So those 3,000 reports are being generated by 10% of the agencies in the union, in the United States.
Wow.
So I think the true numbers of what's going on in the United States would astound us all if we had access to them. Law enforcement's in a very difficult position. In small and medium-sized towns, they're faced with new crime that has to be handled using methods where many lack training and expertise. In addition, budgets are being cut as demands on their time increase. How do we expect them to handle additional crime, a new kind of crime, train their officers, add special task force while we cut their budgets? You know, this week in Fresno, California, I read that they are in the middle of a major gang crackdown, and the law enforcement union agreed to concessions. I was like, how does that happen?
Right.
It's an impossible situation, to be sure. That, again, that's why it's even more important than ever to use the eyes and ears of the public to support law enforcement. A lot of people think that gangs only happen in big cities. I think today or yesterday, there were 37 gang members arrested in two towns in California with a combined population of 11,000. So, you know, I'm from Portland to Boston, there's not a state that hasn't been infiltrated with gangs in the United States.
Right.
Mexican cartels are the same. They're a big source of illegal drugs for the street gangs and the prison gangs, to be honest, and they've penetrated every corner of this country. I am astounded every day by the size towns that are being affected, and I hear from law enforcement agencies across the country that they're overwhelmed. You know, if you don't attack the problem aggressively in its infant stages, by the time it becomes a problem in everyone's mind, they're way ahead of you. The gangs they've been running their business much longer than we've been chasing them. They're much smarter than we are. They can figure out that if they live in a town of 60,000 people, they can call in shots fired on one side of town, and they know that they can deliver a kilo of heroin on the other side of the town without any interference from law enforcement.
Right.
It's just that easy. I think that there's also a problem with the culture of law enforcement and government. I mean, the two most common cultures are institutional dependent and performance based. With institutional dependent culture, you have the top-down approach. It focuses on how the organization as a whole performs, not how individuals perform. They genuinely feel that, you know, if you have adequate good leaders, you have good leadership. And practices that they've used for years enforce conformity, i.e., mediocrity, continues. It tends not to reward collaborative work, and it stifles individual influence and decision-making. The second most common is the performance-based culture, which is, you know, very numbers-driven, competitive, roles are dictated by expertise. Risk-taking is rewarded, but only if it's successful. Leadership's loosely defined. Good leadership equals whatever it takes to get the results. To fight the gang crime, it's got to be an interdependent collaborative culture where roles are determined by contribution to the overall effectiveness of the agency. There's a free flow of ideas and concepts from top down, bottom up. Innovation and risk-taking is encouraged and rewarded. Failures are accepted as a learning experience. And everyone should have a role in leading. It just fosters dialogue, understanding among departments, agencies, and a whole community.
Yeah, that sounds just like what it is, you know. And like I say, by me being a former gang member and a former drug dealer, you know, I know exactly what you're saying on all that, you know. And I just want to iterate, too, as well, you know, when it comes to the drug situation in life, you know, the government allows drugs to come into our country, you know, and a lot of them take a blind out of that, you know. So that leaves the police and the FBI and the CIA and all them still fighting the drug war, you know. And at the same time, you know, the gang problem get worse and worse because the street drugs hit our communities, you know. And long as the drugs is coming into our country, it's going to be a real serious problem within our streets. And that is why the people in the neighborhoods have to get involved, because it'll be a continuous thing in our neighborhoods if it's not addressed, you know.
It's unbelievable to think that in this day and age that we have hits out on entire police forces like we do in El Paso right now.
Exactly.
It's hard to imagine that that's even possible in the United States, but that's what we have.
Right.
They are fighting in the battle of their life on that border right now.
Daily.
Daily.
And now Arizona, yeah, with our new immigration laws, I think it's gonna be a big war down here too.
Oh, I agree.
And they get killed daily. And like I said, you know, you have, you know, I'm just gonna put it out there, Ms. Reed. You have a lot of officers from the federal to the state boys to the CIA and all of that. You know, you know, it's like when you have some people that want to do the right thing, and then you have some people that's corrupt, you know, it's going to always bump heads like water and oil, you know what I mean? And
absolutely.
That's what a lot of people fail to realize, you know, and I'm talking from being a former gang member and a former boss in the drug trade, you know. It's like it's hard to fight the situation if me and you partners and I'm for the right thing and you for the wrong thing, me and you bumping heads every day. You know what I mean? And we driving,
yeah,
in the same car together, you know? And that's the reason a lot of things get twisted out here when the feds and the CIA and the local boys is fighting this war on drugs, because you just got so much corruption going on, and then you got some just trying to do the right thing that make the ones that's trying to do the right thing look bad. Now the cartels want to put hits on the police and things like that, because now the guy doing the right thing is trying to do the right thing, and the other guy saying, hey, man, let me get my pay. You feel me? I've been doing this a long time. You just follow my rules. But following your rules going to get us all hurt and killed. You feel me? We're trying to get these monsters off the street. You know what I mean? And the other guy just trying to get paid. So that's where a lot of things clash at in that game.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, this being a week that where members of the legislature in Illinois proposed bringing in the National Guard. I don't know what to think about that, but I know one thing, somebody better do something, and people better get it together.
Real quick, or it's going to be a war
quick
on these streets, you know, and so many people talk about, oh, we got a war in Afghanistan, we got a war in this, that, and the other. You know, by me sitting back looking at everything, you know, I think, you know, okay, it's cool to be concerned about the people across the water to a certain degree, but we got a war right here in the streets of America in our own neighborhoods, you know, and that's drugs and gangs and crime, you know. And we need to be addressing this right here, because a lot of people don't want to be coming out their house every day and worried about, if I step out my house, you know, I'm going to get my purse snatched, or I'm going to get killed because, you know, he think I done told on him because he's standing on my corner all day long and I'm just trying to go to work, you know. So I think the government is really not looking at the problem that we have over here in our own country, and it's out of control, you know. And like you spoke on a little bit earlier in the conversation, yeah, the Mexican Mafia is in every corner on the earth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all through the penitentiaries, period. You know what I mean? They control the penitentiaries in L.A., you know what I mean, hands down. You know, you might have a guard standing up there, you know, as a shield, but, you know, they getting control too. You know, money controls a lot of things when it comes illegal, you know. If I'm getting paid $100,000 a week, you know, compared to me sitting up here holding this gun up on this shuffle up here, and I'm getting paid $40,000 a year, well, hey, I'm turning my head, and y'all can do whatever y'all want to do in the yard, you know. So it's just an ongoing fight, like I said, when you're trying to do right and you got 20 that's doing wrong, you know. It's just an uphill battle, Ms. Reed.
I had the opportunity to – I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ms. Reed.
I had an opportunity to meet with some corrections officials a few weeks ago, and they were giving me a breakdown of one of their facilities where there's 136 inmates to one corrections officer. And at any one given time in the six guard towers that they have, there's two on duty. So there's absolutely no way they can stop the flow of contraband, phones,
nothing.
You know, tobacco, drugs, coming into the facility because people are going right up to the fence. I saw aerials of it and throwing it over.
Right.
And most of the leaders, a lot of the leaders of gangs are in prison, and they are running it.
From the jailhouse.
Absolutely. They
are making millions at that.
Oh, they're making,
They are. There's no question about it.
You know, and like I said, once again, you know, it's a extremely uphill battle. So when a person get into the fight that we all into, don't think it's going to be calmed down overnight. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's like you said, they find a new trade, they find a new way of getting it in while we still working on the old ways of how they got it in, you know? So they always 10 steps ahead of the game out here when you out here being a hustler, you know? You always 10 steps ahead of the game. You know, you find out that the feds or the DEA, they know this right here. Okay, we done switched over to another train track, you know, riding on another train now. And it's just being in that world, you just always 10 or 20 steps ahead of what's chasing you, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do. I believe that denial is one of our biggest problems.
Right.
In many communities. You know, no one wants to admit they have a gang problem for economic development reasons, public perception of law enforcement or government effectiveness. They may feel it's not prudent to bring the issue to the forefront. You know, generally when communities experience their first wave of low-level gang activity, the cries often, well, our problem's not as bad as Chicago or L.A. or I don't see any gang problems. Well, guess what? You're not going to see them if you're living in your subdivision. You're going to the grocery store and you're coming back. But community denial is exactly what the gangs look for. That means that there will be no proactive steps taken to curtail their activities.
In that neighborhood.
Yeah, they know this. And that's why we are seeing the widespread expansion of gangs into small and mid-sized towns throughout the United States.
Where we don't think they at, but they at.
Absolutely. Community denial is also not exclusive to citizens. It often includes politicians and law enforcement, which compounds the problem of getting a proactive engagement message conveyed out to the community.
Exactly.
If we admit it, we have to address it. If we don't address it immediately, aggressively, before the drive-by shootings and innocent children are being killed in our streets, by the time we address it, it's way ahead.
It's out of control. It's out of control.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's when I sat back and watched how people thought these little suburbs didn't have so-called gangs, you know what I mean? You know, that's why I tell people all the time, don't sit back talking about what little Johnny and what little Susie ain't doing, you know? Because if you at work all day long, you don't know what little Susie and Johnny doing, you know? So you have to be aware of what your children doing at all times, too, out here, and you got to communicate with them on a daily basis out here, you know? Because when the problem got off into the suburbs for real, that's when a lot of people, eyes start opening up like, oh, my God, you know, it's out here. But no, it's been out there. You feel me? It just got out of control when the drugs got in there real heavy and everybody got strung out on dope. Then you understood that it's in your community, too, like it's always been in the ghetto. You know what I mean? everybody concentrated on the ghetto, but they didn't concentrate on it was all over. It wasn't just no ghetto problem. It's a global problem, you know?
It absolutely is. I mean, I don't even, I just bypass the international stories. But they're just as harrowing as what's going on in the United States.
Right.
You know, my biggest question is, why do we have to wait until people are killed to take action? You know,
exactly,
why can't
Ms.
we apply aggressive pressure and suppress the growth of activity while it's manageable? You know, many people believe if it can be managed, it's not a problem. You know, that's
you know,
just
there's
not true.
So many people that have been killed already. What are we waiting for? Are you waiting for until, you know,
right.
your own family member gets killed? I mean, just look out there. People are getting killed every single day with guns and from teenagers, people that just, you know, are out there going crazy.
And you know what I sat back and thought about one day, Ms. Reed? I sat back and I thought and I said to myself, you know, like I say, by me being a former guy from the street world, you know, the gang situation and the gang life, you know, we have to attack that situation strong. You know, if you see these guys hanging on the corner all day long, forget jumping out the car trying to shake down little Johnny. You feel me? No.
Mm-hmm.
You shake down the whole neighborhood like they used to do us back in the 70s. You know what I mean? They used to shake down the whole neighborhood and didn't nobody leave out until that person came out. You know what I mean? They applied pressure like that in the neighborhood that I came from in Detroit when we was in the gang life real heavy and the drug life heavy, you know? That's when they had the big four and stress out back in Detroit in the 70s, you know? So it's like you have to just hit the target if you're trying to be for real out here, you know? You got to let these cats realize and know that this corner is not your corner. This is not where you stand on every day. You wake up with your pants hanging off your butt talking about, you know, this is me. No, this ain't you. You know what I mean? So that's my real suggestion when it comes to controlling these neighborhoods and law enforcement really doing what they need to do out here. You know what I mean? You have to really tackle these cats out here and let them know this is not your corner. You feel me? And once you address them like that, and you apply pressure to them like that, they ain't going to be trying to stand on no corners or none of that, you know? And that has always been effective out here from years to now, you know?
I couldn't agree more. Bottom line is that Americans need to pay more attention to what's going on in their neighborhoods and their schools. You know, we just came out of the 80s and 90s where we were very inwardly focused, you know, what are we going to watch on TV? How are we going to operate our agency? And, you know, it shifted the focus from shared responsibility to individual entitlement. And we don't, as a culture, take into consideration what's best for the community.
Right.
And ultimately, that is going to be what's best for any individual or agency.
And that's the bottom line, you know, and I would love to just come up there and speak in your city one day, Ms. Reed, you know?
That would be great.
Because, you know, it's like I've been fed up with that out there, you know what I mean? And that's why me and my wife started the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, you know? It's like these cats is out of control out here, and it's not just the young boys now. It's these young girls out here that want to be followed the lead as well, you know? I mean, everybody want to be this thug, you know? But it's no win in that game, period, man. Ain't no successful thugs, ain't no successful drug dealer. Like I say, their stories is all the same in the end, man. I'm sitting in the penitentiary swapping lives with people I don't know, you know what I mean? And you got your homeboy gonna tell on you. You know, once you tell him 20 years or 5 years, the way these cats so weak out here now, you ain't even got to say 5 or 10 years. You can just say 2 years or 18 months, and he done told on his whole crew, you know? So, you know, like the Bible say, a lot of these cats wiser but weaker, you know? And they weak more so than back when the gangs was back when my time in the 70s and 60s and 80s, you know? These cats is just wannabes. They want to be gangbangers. They want to be hustlers, you know? And real hustlers take care of family. They ain't out on the block destroying people and trying to run up in people's house and rob and take and steal. You know, that's what these cats is about nowadays, you know, which is drugs is wrong to sell. But if you're going to do that life, you should be taking care of your business and taking care of what need to be did, not out there trying to destroy people and kill people and rob people in your neighborhood. You know, we protected the people in our neighborhood when we came up and we was doing wrong. You know, we might have been doing wrong, but hey, on holidays and different things, we made sure the old folks ate. We made sure we gave out turkeys for Thanksgiving. Everybody had Christmas gifts that didn't have nothing in the neighborhood. You know, even though it was wrong, we did something back and gave something back to the neighborhood as well, you know. And these stupid cats out here ain't like that at all, you know. That's why I said the drug game and the hustle game, that's a dead game out here now. You know what I mean? That's a job that's a straight failure when you sign up for it.
I agree. It's changed tremendously since the 70s.
Thank you.
Yeah, and a lot of it, a lot of the kids, too, I think even though they may not be selling drugs or they might just be selling a little bit, some of them want that power and that control and look at me, I'm bigger and better and you know, and they're out there shooting and killing to prove that they're the best, I guess, or that they're
right. And that ain't even how the drug game went years ago, you know what I mean? Like you said, they out here killing and shooting and taking people's lives, you know, for nothing. And a lot of times when they get locked up, they ain't even got bond money, you know what I mean, to even get out of jail, you know. But you're on the corner all day long for what, you know what I mean? Nothing. You need to be at somebody's job, at somebody's McDonald's, Burger King, or helping out somewhere. That's what you need to be doing because, you know, it's just pitiful how they done twist the game out here nowadays, you know. And it's just, you know, I just get fed up when I see them out here now because they in the way, you know. You're not doing nothing that nobody else ain't did, you know. You ain't doing nothing that another drug dealer ain't did or another gangbanger ain't did. And like I said, everybody has took the fall, period, you know.
Right. Catherine, what do you feel about the drug laws as they are now as far as people being put away for life? And then we have murderers and rapists and people that are violent, you know, abusive to their spouses or whatever, and, you know, they're kind of in and out.
I'll tell you what I do feel personally is, in terms of gangs, is it absolutely outrages me that gangs use youths to commit violent crimes knowing that they'll fall under juvenile law, and with prosecutors getting much more aggressive, many of these juveniles are being bumped up to adult court and they're going to serve time immediately. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I think it's a case-by-case basis. But if you have a kid that has gotten mixed up and has the potential to be turned around, if you send them to prison, I will guarantee you they will not be turned around.
Exactly.
I will guarantee you their life will be ruined.
Exactly. And I think most kids can be turned around. I think they just kind of get in the wrong atmosphere for whatever reason. And, you know, maybe not having their parents at home or, you know, whatever it is. But I think, you know, as young kids, they're easy to influence, and I think they could easily be influenced to do the right things and to do better things and be a successful person instead of a drug dealer.
And that's real.
You know what?
Go ahead, Ms.
I agree 100%. Another thing I wanted to touch on this evening was the lack of support programs that we do have for youth. And I think this goes across the country. I mean, you know, budgets are being cut, and I'm not making any kind of political statement here, but education is being cut across the country. I know here in my county there are sports activities at high schools that are being cut out. Obviously, if you know, you have to make a choice between a teacher and an extracurricular activity, you're going to choose the teacher. However, when you've got an underserved population, if you don't provide activities for them to do, healthy activities, you're just asking for trouble. And we, the most successful programs that I've seen across the country have been driven by the people of the United States, whether it's been faith-based organizations or organizations like yourself or any kind of a startup program that has helped teens, that have given them a place to go. There is absolutely nothing to do. I mean, in the 70s, I can remember we used to open the gyms at the high school on the weekends, and the kids used to go in there and play.
Basketball now, all day long.
Yeah, all day long. I mean, my grandfather, you know, he didn't have any money, and he spent his whole child life at the YMCA.
Right.
And, you know, I'm
so
grateful
for that. Or the schools would open
up
the gym, you know. Or
yes,
the schools
oh,
would
absolutely.
Open up the gym at night, because we had in our neighborhood the high school, Kettering High School, and it's still there in Detroit. And even though we was gang banging back in them days and different things, they still would have the gang members come to this one place, Kettering High School, in the back, and there was a gym in the back where they let gang members come in there and talk to us and play basketball and ping pong. And at that time, you know, I was number like 11 and 12 years old going to that academy up there, you know, all from the school, you know. So, yeah, a lot of things done changed, Ms. Reed, from back when we was coming up to how it is now. You know, everything is cut across America right now, and it's just crazy because if you don't give these young cats and young girls nothing to do out here on the positive level, well, then they more influenced at what their home girl or what their homeboy doing. You know, now the influence get even more better now because the devil's mind is out of workshop. You know, you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, everybody's playing video games, and most of the video games that the kids are playing nowadays are violent.
Exactly.
I agree.
There's a lot of shooting and killing and you know, and then, of course, the music and movies and everything out there also to, you know, make everything look glamorous and you know, and they're not really. But that's the way they make it look.
No,
yeah,
they're not. There's no question that the youth today, regardless of that all youth, is desensitized to some degree against violence. I mean,
exactly.
they see it on television. They see it in their video games. You know, it's amazing. You could probably ask any teenage boy in America about guns, and they could tell you everything
right.
in the world about guns just from the guns that they use on their video game.
Right. And
right.
you can ask them about a computer. And when we was coming up, we didn't know nothing about no computers. But you ask these kids nowadays, they can be 12 or 13. And, oh, this how you do this, and this how you do that. And I'll set your page up for you.
They got computers. Kids in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they have computer classes teaching them. I mean, which
right.
is okay, teaching them how to use it. But, you know, a lot of times they can still, do the wrong things on the computer.
You already know.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this a lot. I use it extensively for my research. And from an educational point of view, the Internet is just such a gift. On the other hand,
it's a curse.
You know, in the hands of you know, young undeveloped minds that are impressionable and that are searching and going through changes, and it can be just a vehicle of evil.
Yes, indeed.
So I go back and forth on it. But you're right. I mean, a lot of it goes back to the parents. And sometimes you can't change that.
No.
And I'm of the mind that, you know, we need to assist. You know, if you've got a neighbor in need, you know, if you've got a single mother living next to you that's working two jobs and has three kids, and you know two of them are by themselves, during the course of the day, you know, go check on them. Invite them over to dinner.
You're talking old school now, Miss Reed.
But you know what?
That's exactly where
we need to go.
We have to go back to It Takes a Village to Raise a Child.
Right. You went all the way back on us with that, Miss Reed.
You know, if you have an older woman that lives across the street that always has her porch light on, and you know her light hasn't been on for 2 days, go check on her.
Man, that's too much light, right, Miss Reed. You went all the way back in our days when we was doing it like that. You know what I mean? You know,
but
these kids
you know,
nowadays ain't got it, man.
Go back to human caring.
Yeah, they don't get it.
And taking it, and the people are so busy, we don't have the time. You know, we're just too busy doing our own thing. We don't have time to stop and check on them. We don't have time to do this. We don't have time to do that. You know, we're constantly on the go. Everything is gimme, gimme, gimme right now, right now, right now. And
right. And nobody's wanting to work for it and build something with their life, and nobody wants to, you know, be in charge of being their own successor and their own destiny in life. Everybody, you know, want to go out here and be this, like I said, this big drug dealer and this big thug. You know, all that is a dream, man. You know what I mean? It's many done tried that and lost the whole battle, and they going to always lose that battle. So just do the right thing, man, and get your life together and, you know, make something out your life, you know. And I'm with you on that, Miss Reed, when you said that you sent a child away, you know, he come out a monster, you know what I mean? My history goes back as a young kid, you know, when I seen my stepfather get murdered, I was 9 years old, you know. And I started living a gang life at 10 years old, so I was well in my 20s, you know. So I know all about that, you know what I mean? So you have to, you know, address the situation, and you can't just put a child in the prison with adults, you know what I mean? Because their mind ain't even shaped on an adult, even though they out here acting up doing wrong, you know? Their mind ain't shaped on an adult level just yet, you know? So we have to address them at what their age is as a youth, you know? That's what we have to address. And just like me and my wife got a other movement going on right now, and that's the abrewment movement against these guys out here that abuse our women, our kids,
right,
and rape our women. And I don't care if you're married to them or not. You ain't got no reason to be beating no woman half to death because she come home 10 minutes late because she done worked overtime and you tripping, you know what I mean? Or the pancakes ain't did right. Cook yourself, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm on a real crusade now to get these monsters put away. You know, ain't no reason to be around here beating women, period. And I've done got a lot of emails from women across the country that has done been through this, and the guy gets 6 months or he go to a class and he's back out here to do that to another woman and another child, you know. And drugs is wrong to sell, you know what I mean? That's wrong. But at the same time, I don't feel that a guy who sells drugs need to be doing life in the penitentiary away from his family, because the only thing he want to do is make some money. You give him a job and you give him some kind of skill, you know. You can rehabilitate the hustler, but you can't rehabilitate these monsters out here that's killing our kids, raping our women, and beating our women down on a regular basis. And you just say, oh, we're going to give you 60 days, sir, and you take the domestic violence class. No. We're going to send you away for the rest of your life, monster, like you is, and put you in a cage like you need to be. Because, like, they got wild animals running through the woods, and we don't allow them around people, you know? And that's what I feel about them people right there, Miss Reed, you know?
And I have to just put my 2 cents in. A lot is fueled by drugs and alcohol, too, and that's in the abuse situation.
Right. So we must put you where you can fight all day if that's what you choose. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We can put you in the cage and you can fight all day long and do whatever you need to do, and then they'll stick you in the hole. And after you calm down, we'll put you back out on the yard again. You know? So that's where animals need to be at. You know? Because a lot of people blame it on that.
I have a choice whether I want to buy drugs and use drugs or not. I have that choice to say yes or no. But if somebody's gonna abuse me or murder me, I don't have that choice. They're going to do it.
That's
anyway.
Right.
So
that's right.
So yeah, we definitely on a campaign with that too, Miss Reed. So we would definitely like for you to join our movement on that as well. You know, we out to protect our children and our women out here. Just like a case that happened in Ohio, this was a month ago. I know you probably heard about it. It was all on the news everywhere. The guy, Anthony Kirkland, he killed three young women. You raped them and burnt them up, you know. And he had already been in prison for 10 years. They gave this guy 10 years for murdering a woman and setting her body on fire. They gave him an out date. He come home 6 months ago and did the same thing. You know what I mean? Now we want to give him the death penalty. No, you should have gave him the death penalty in the first place, period. You know what I mean? You know, a monster like that can't be rehabilitated. But the drug dealer can. And that's what the government, that's what the DEA, and that's what everybody needs to realize. Because drugs going to be here until me and you and the wife die. And the drugs still going to be here, you know?
Look at statistics. Most of the people in prison are for drugs, basically.
You know, we just don't need these monsters out here no more, you know? Forget the class. Forget going to the domestic violence class, bro. We want to put you in the cage that you need to be in because women don't deserve to get beat, choked, strangled, you know what I mean, dragged up and down the street, and now you sitting up here saying the same two lies every day, I'm sorry, oh, and it won't happen no more, you know? That's just two lies you tell your abuser on a daily basis. So, you know, that's something I'm pushing real heavy out here, you know, Ms. Reed?
Yes, and the American citizens can do a lot to change that at the voting booth.
Yes.
With who they vote, they need to be aware of who their local judges are, look at the sentences that are being handed down on issues that are important to them, and vote accordingly.
Yes.
Right.
And that's
I mean,
we
have the power in the United States if we use it.
Use it the right way.
That's right.
You know, we know the drug dealer is wrong for selling drugs, but we also know that this man don't need to be sitting in jail for no 30 years for selling no drugs. That you know what I mean? We need to be trying to put these monsters away that's taking our kids and our women and destroying their life, you know. And every time you turn around, they want to blame it. Oh, I had too much to drink, or, man, ain't nobody even trying to hear that no more, man. You feel me? The bottom line is you know before you got to drinking or using drugs or what have you, whatever your excuse might be, that it's wrong to be running around here beating on our women, raping our kids, and taking their life. You know that's wrong before you do anything. So that is no excuse for me no more. You know what I mean? That is unacceptable, you know?
I agree.
So we've been having to go ahead, Ms. Reed. We're going to take a break, and go ahead and finish your sentence.
I was just going to say that in the weed tips that we've received in Tippecanoe County, approximately 38% of them, as a secondary crime, have endangerment to children, where we, you know, you may have heroin addicts or people dealing heroin out of the house with a six-month-old and a four-year-old and a 10-year-old. So it is a problem. I mean,
yes,
that was a very unexpected result of WeTip. Very unexpected to see how many children are living
in
very dangerous situations. Yes.
Exactly.
Well, and so is it any wonder that they're out in the streets selling drugs and in gangs? Because that's what they grow up seeing.
Right.
In a lot of cases, that's all they know. So are they right? Should they go to jail because that's all they know? No, they need to be given that chance to learn something different, to know that there's, you know, other alternatives that are right. And I don't, you know, I think there should be things in school, you know, from kindergarten on that educate the kids more about drugs and gangs and alternatives than what's being done now.
Exactly.
I couldn't agree more. I think in every community there should be access to youth centers that are on bus lines, that don't require a great deal of money to do. If you're a child of limited means, you have pretty much zero chance of being involved in any extracurricular activity.
Exactly.
You know, you can't buy the uniform. You don't have the transportation to get back and forth from school to get to practice because your mom's working two jobs.
And dad ain't
there.
So
even if you come from a great family, you know, a wonderful family whose mother, if it's a single mother, is working very, very hard. And
to maintain.
But you know what? She's at work, and the person living next door to you is selling drugs, and you don't have an opportunity to go anywhere else because there's no youth centers on your bus line.
Block.
You're hanging out with him.
Right, and you're learning how to hustle instead
right.
of learning how to go to work.
Right.
So, yeah, it's all twisted out here, Ms. Reed, you know. And, ladies and gentlemen, we've been having a great moment with Ms. Reed out of Lafayette, Indiana. And she's definitely speaking her mind and speaking the real out here. And we're going to go to a break, and we're going to go to a song, and we're going to be right back with Ms. Reed. Stay tuned.
Yeah, yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always, even when no one else cares. He's there for you.
Oh,
keep your head up.
Oh, hey,
the streets don't love you back. I hear grinding and a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. Show me what rules, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. Show me what way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home. The streets don't
never love you.
Raw Boy checking in, letting you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned
by my father in this world,
when I was abandoned
by the man that I thought loved me, it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he's done for me, 'cause I listened to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love you back. I hear grinding and a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on the lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
I know
love
things change
you
the way your young mind thinks, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink. And I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if he get me out the street. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head, another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show their codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man, fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, and day rooms to mess halls and rec yards. You think you something special, everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raised by the streets with no dad. But going life or death and pressing ain't gonna never change the past. Cause yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert,
Dedicate this to my homeboy, Bishop Crew off Van Eyken Harbor, the Brewster Project, my man Chicoria, Warner Kind of Project, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
Welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Tonight we're talking with Ms. Catherine Redd. And we have about 4 more minutes, Catherine. What would you like to maybe summarize or talk about here?
I would like to say that here in Tippecanoe County, we have had tremendous success with people, individuals, rising up to the occasion and taking ownership and making it their business to know what's going on in their neighborhood. And this has come from neighborhood associations, which can have a tremendous amount of power in any town or city. I think it's encouraging. I think we are seeing, I don't know how many marches we've seen in the last month across the country of citizens rising up against violence. We're reaching a real boiling point here, and I just want to commend all the people that step outside the box and rally but behind something that a lot of people don't even believe exists and stand up for what they believe. Their support is more important than they will ever know.
Right.
Yes, indeed, and I just would like to iterate to that as well. You know, we appreciate everybody who's in the fight right now with us, and we ask for everybody that's not in the fight to join the fight. You know, no matter what city you're in, no matter what state you're in, it's time to uprise and it's time to uplift, and it's time to let these youths and everybody else know across the country that gang violence, drugs, all that is straight failure, you know. So let's get your head on tight and let's be a loud voice against all of these gangs, these drugs, as well as this abuse out here. And we want to give Miss Rita a big hands up for being in the fight as well in her community and making a difference as well, along with all the people that she do good business with there in her county. So we want to send a big shout out to your county as well for being great on the front for with the situation.
Right.
Thank you so much. We look forward
to working with you in the future, and keep us updated on everything you're doing, and we'll do the same. Hopefully we'll be able to get up there and talk sometime up in your city if you have something going on.
We would be more than happy to have you at any time.
Thank you.
And you can give them that hotline tip number one more time, Ms. Reed. You know, she's going to give you the hotline, ladies and gentlemen. If you have anything going on illegally or need some assistance, please give Ms. Reed a call at this information number that she's going to shout out to you one more time.
It's the WeTip Anonymous, 100% Anonymous hotline, 1-800-78-CRIME.
All right, you get that, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-78-CRIME. And we want everybody to start jumping on that line, because you already see what's happening in your neighborhood. You see what's happening down there at the corner store. And let's get them up off the street. Let's get them up off the block and try to get them in somebody's school, somebody's youth center, and somebody's job site, you know. And we all got choice now, ladies and gentlemen. So if you feel you don't want to be at the job or the youth center or trying to do something right, you already know, baby, the government got a room for you, and it stay for rent on a regular basis, bro. So let's try to make the right choice, old boy, out there along with the homegirls, because they room stay for rent, baby. Don't get it ever twisted, you know.
And join us the next couple of weeks. We have some really good guests as well. Next week we have Miss Alicia Curtis Weber, and she has an amazing story about her life growing up, but she also has a story about her 16-year-old son who was an athlete he wanted to go to a different school so he could get more play time on the field. And within a month, joined a gang, and within that first month, his gang mentor murdered him and two other people, execution style. So that's going to be an awesome story to hear. And then the following week, we have a former Blood member out of New Jersey, Mr. Dewey Morris, and I just read his book called The War of the Bloods in My Vein, and it's a pretty haunting story about him growing up. He describes the drive-bys, he describes the feeling that he had, he describes, you know, so much about being a gang member and what he went through and what he saw other, you know, gang members around him going through, and, you know, it's an awesome story, it's, you know, a good learning story for people who want to know what it's really like. But he almost made it to the NFL, and because of his crimes that he continued to commit, didn't make it because he got incarcerated. So, you know, in the end, you're either going to, you know, go to prison and screw up your life, or you're going to be dead. So you're better off to do the right thing the first time and get ahead and be successful.
No doubt, no doubt, you know. So we want to just say we thank you once again, Ms. Reed, for coming on, like I said, and giving your input on what you're doing in your community and help spreading the word around the world. And we just want you to keep doing what you're doing down there and keep the fight going. And we're right there with you fighting the path as well, you know?
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And, you know, anybody that wants to be a guest on any of our shows, just point them in the right direction.
All right. You have a great, great night, Ms. Reed. And we, like I say, we send much love out to your community and your county. And we're going to sign off, and we're going to say like we always do, the streets don't love you back, and may God always bless everybody. Peace and love.
Good night.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in. But the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that. Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. So when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you wanna be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you wanna do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on. Here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step down May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way.
Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a get. God, he caught up the moon. Shit, I'm grown. It started from my home, so I'm at home with brushes. Are we all alone? When we born, we all alone. When we die, we need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably make it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true and dark, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. Lies, tried to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise. Cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body. You see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead. Jump out of bed, paranoid. I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead. Cause I just can't move. Freestyle life off the head. Cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, don't you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
on. Let us all be checking back in with you, like I said. It's that traffic knowledge that you young brothers and sisters understand. That hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game. That's all washed up. Let's get our life together. Let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.